Well, we are starting a new series this morning. I'm calling it Life According to Jim. We're going to hop into the book of James. James comes right immediately after Hebrews. If you want to open up to the book of James, we're going to spend quite a bit of time just reading through different sections of the text. James is written in the most Jewish literature way of any New Testament book. It's a Jewish wisdom literature is almost what it's like. If you were to pick up a New Testament version of the book of Proverbs, you would probably think James, because when he lays out his things, like as you read through the text, and I would encourage you to read through the book of James this week, it doesn't take very long, and it's really beneficial and encouraging. But if you read through it, James kind of has a Jordan problem, which is I'm scatterbrained, and it's like he hits a bunch of different things. And so as I went through the text, I was like, okay, I'm just going to go verse by verse. And then it was like, well, that's not going to work. And then I had another outline that I was following, and that wasn't going to work. And then finally, I was like, okay, I'm just going to figure out some basic themes and kind of piece together what I think James is saying about given topics. This morning, it was almost like Mason got into my sermon notes and wrote a perfect intro to this morning's message. This morning's message is about trial and temptation. It's about the sin that so easily entangles us and how we can get through it as Christians. I don't know if you're like me, but when I first became a Christian, when I decided I'm going to be baptized, I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to dedicate my life to him, I thought that, temptation and sin were going to be a thing of the past, and that that wasn't going to be an ongoing struggle. I don't know why I came up with such naive of an idea. Maybe it was just my youthfulness when I made the decision, but I didn't realize necessarily how hard it would be to be a Christian and navigate temptation and struggle and still having this sort of draw and just evil desires that are within you. And you wonder, well, what's the deal there? Well, James offers incredible insightfulness into our own sort of makeup and what is going on inside of us. And so this morning I'd like to read through several different texts. It would be beneficial to have the scripture open for you because we're going to go consecutively through it. But I'm going to kind of skip some sections, and it's going to be a little bit funny, but I think I've pieced together James's thought process on trials and temptations when we struggle to deal with sin and walk the walk of Christ. And so we'll open with James 1:1-4. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. So as introductory information that we would want, just important things as you pick up a text, James, I think the evidence is strong. It's Jesus' brother, James. James was a doubter at first. He didn't really think, hey, Jesus, my brother is the Son of God, but then later he came to believe. James was he was in Jerusalem, and he stayed in the Jerusalem churches, while Christianity started spreading all around him, James stayed in Jerusalem. And so this letter is to the 12 tribes scattered. So he sees the church spreading, the gospel spreading, churches being planted across the world, and James is writing a letter to the Christians, and it's just a sort of broad to all of God's people. We don't know the original target audience, and that's perhaps the way James wanted it to be. And so James then writes this letter, and so it's to a broad context. This is sort of a Christian wisdom literature. What can we know about our Christian life? And he says, and he starts out with kind of a whiz-bang idea. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. When we read that, when we read trials, I think sometimes we think like when they're facing difficult circumstances. And that might have something to do with it, but the word there is temptation. When we face temptation, when we face this sort of luring us away from Christ, when we face these trials, consider it pure joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance or endurance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. This morning, I want to spend time with you just talking about how trials and temptations are an opportunity for growth. You know, Mason talking about his race, I was thinking about using as an illustration when I first started lifting weights. And when you lift weights, that first time that you do it, like the next day, Wendy's laughing because I haven't lifted weights in forever. Thanks, honey. I know I need to work on it. But I can remember like the first football weightlifting practice thing. And the next day you wake up and there's things that are sore. And it's like, I didn't know I had that. And it hurts all over. And what I think James is communicating to us is in a lot of respects what we do when we enter into a sort of faith trial and temptation moment. We have a tendency to look at trials and temptations as a really bad thing, but James says in this sort of really strange way that this is actually an opportunity for us to have pure joy. And it's like, well, what is he getting at? Well, it's an opportunity. Testing your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance finishes at work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. The only way for us to grow physically is for us to lift weights and to exercise. The only way for us to grow spiritually in our faith is for our faith to be tested. And I think sometimes we think that our faith is just going to naturally grow if it doesn't have any sort of testing or temptations to it. And James wisely says there has to be resistance to your faith for your faith to grow. There has to be things and situations that would lure you one way and you choose to go the other direction. And what I have found in my faith is that when there is temptation and when I actually have the endurance and perseverance to endure through it, I end up realizing that I have a faith that I didn't have before. Much like when you get those muscles that are sore and it's like, man, I didn't know I had those things going on. When we get through difficult circumstances, when we get through these temptations and trials and things that would lure us away from Christ, when we do endure, we end up finding and discovering a faith that we didn't have before. And you think, oh, wow, I can do that. Have you in your Christian walk experienced the overcoming of temptation to realize that you're stronger, your faith is stronger than you actually realized? And that there's something about your faith in Christ that's leading you through and leading you deeper and further into a relationship with Him? If not, this sermon is for you. If you have, then it's a sort of celebration, and you understand for yourself that trials and temptation can be an opportunity for pure joy, because you've experienced the growth in Christ the opportunity that's presented. If you jump down to James 1:12 through 15, I think he continues the thought. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. James, he contrasts two ways that our lives can go. He says, you will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised those who persevere, and those who give in to temptation, they receive death, which is what happens when sin is fully grown and it gives birth to death. And so in contrasting those two, we see what a Christian should do. James is also a book of imperatives, of things that we should be doing. If you wanted to, in the coming weeks, just read through the text this week and spend some time in it. The next time you read through the book of James, just ask the question, a Christian should, and then fill in the blank. And as you read through, you'll find some 40 to 50 things that a Christian should be doing just from the book of James, of things that we should be considering and doing as Christians. And one of those things that we should be doing is we should be keeping the eye on the prize, much like our friend Mason was counting down the numbers a mile and 400 meters and you're almost to the finish line. We need to, as Christians, we should always remember what our finish line is. Christians who forget that we have the crown of life are going to have an awfully hard time overcoming trial and temptation. If we forget that we are given the crown of life in Christ, that we have eternal life in Christ and his kingdom, we're going to have a hard time getting through the race and not getting entangled in the sin so easily. And so we look at this text and we see James reminds us that a Christian should be keeping an eye on the prize and always remember the severity of sin. We have a tendency to neglect the severity of sin, but this text is abundantly clear that that after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, it gives birth to death. The severity of sin is death. But we as Christians are forgiven of our sins, and we can trust in God, and we've been given the crown of life. Remember that we will receive the crown of life, and we remember the severity of sin. There's an interesting thing here in 13 that says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. I suppose that I have heard Christians say more often than not that God is tempting them. And here it is, a biblical command to teaching us not to say those very things. And so my question is why do Christians say God is tempting me? Well, one, I think that they think that they are trying to comfort us, and I don't know how that is comforting, but also because they're dumb. So just don't do it. But sometimes we say these things. Sometimes we say dumb things. I say it all the time. God is tempting me. Why does James come so strongly against it? And I think it's because it's so completely against God's character to try and lead us away from him. God's character is to send his son because he loves you. God's character is to make sure he removes any possible barrier between you and him that sin has brought so that you might have life in Christ. And so when we say God is tempting you, well, God must be tempting you, we are trying to bring comfort to people, and that is not the case. We are saying something about God that is completely outside of his character. His character is to draw near to us. We are to draw near to him. Our temptations and our desires, as James would say, is something that happens within inside of us. He says so in James 4:1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? I'm glad I got that word out of the way. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? God longs for you, but he gives us more grace. That's why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. And so what is it, in James' perspective, that causes so many problems and trials and struggles and temptation? Well, they come from the desires that are battling within us. The quarrels that divide church families, well, it's when we are looking out for ourselves, seeking whatever is best for us in our own moment, our own best comfort. He says, friendship with the world means enmity against God. We choose to be an enemy of God by living a life of sin. When trial and struggles come, it is, of course, much easier to simply go with the flow. Temptation is an awful lot like getting caught up in a river stream and being swept away. And these struggles, they are all the same as we would be pressured to conform to the world. It's difficult in our life to stand firm when the current would push us in the ways of the world. The temptations are strong, and we know this very much as just trying to live a Christian life every day, and the things that would pull us away, and how the streams of culture and sin and temptation would pull us further away from God. Yet there's that little message tucked away in there that God has a spirit that jealously longs for you. God longs for us. He longs to dwell with us, to be in us, to be with us, to lead us. God, it says, opposes the proud, but gives grace and shows favor to the humble. God opposes the proud because the proud over and over again tell themselves that they don't need God. What does a humble Christian look like? Well, James, he offers us a guide towards humility, that we would oppose the pride in our lives and that we would turn ourselves into humble Christians. Why is, and humility is the key to overcoming temptation. Pride says, I deserve this, I've worked hard, I'm going to take care of me. Humility says, I need you, God. And as Christians, if we would all humbly find ourselves to the point in our life where we would say we need God, we'd be well on our way to being what Christ has called us to be. James tells us how to be humble as Christians. Submit yourselves to God. So much of my life has been me trying to look out for me and do what's best for myself independently of God. James wisely says, submit yourself to him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And it's coupled with, come near to God and he will draw near to you. It's this active decision in a moment when we have that seed of temptation planted. Will we resist the devil? Or will we draw nearer to Christ? It says, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Ultimately, our humility will only come if we would repent. If we would say, you know, God, I've been looking out for me. It's time for me to look out for what you would want in this world and what you would want in my life. It's not about me. It's the end of me. It's the beginning of you. It's my life laying down. It's not me pursuing all these things that are about elevating myself and making sure I got me taken care of and then worry about everybody else. We know what temptation does. It's where we are the most important person in the room. It's where pride sets in and we think so highly of ourselves. When we have the humility of Christ working in our lives, we can be willing to say, you know, I don't need to go that direction. I want to draw near to God. And it can be as simple as a prayer. It can be as simple as just meditating on God's word. It can be as simple as recalling a story. It can be as simple as calling a Christian friend. It could be any number of things to draw nearer to God aside from pursuing whatever temptation might be before us. James closes in 5, 10, and 11, he says, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And he says, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And very quickly, the prophets are an example of patience in the face of suffering. Many spoke about the Lord to no real sign of repentance. Many ridiculed them, and yet they stayed faithful in their message and their obedience to Jesus. Many have persevered through much worse, and we must remember the Lord is merciful. As we look at Job, Job lost everything. He lost his children, he lost his wealth, he lost his comfort, he was filled with sores, yet he remained faithful to God. He endured great physical suffering and the loss of children, yet through it all he persevered in faith. When tempted to disavow God, he doesn't. When we face personal trials and temptations, when it's difficult to persevere in our faith, we need to recall the stories of Scripture, the heroes of the past who have remained faithful. Even in the most difficult of circumstances or the strongest of temptations, when we face personal temptation, we need to remember the wise counsel to draw near to God, in every situation we face, be it personal holiness issue or being faithful when it is most difficult. We are called for a dependency upon God. God opposes the proud, but he looks with favor on the humble. James' counsel for us as Christians is to hang in there and don't give up. Maybe we need a friend like Lindsay to tell us, keep running and hang in there. And all of us do. We must remember our story and where we are going. We must remember that the crown of life is the promise of God. We must remember that God is merciful and he longs to draw near to us. When we feel like pulling away from God, that's when we must draw nearest to him. The next time you face trial, the next time you're tempted, I pray that it may become an opportunity for you to have pure joy, as it will become an opportunity for you to draw nearer to Christ. When we are hurting or tired is when we are most tempted to turn from God and pursue sin. But it's most important in those times of temptation that we draw near to God in prayer and community and study and meditation and just simply reading the Psalms. Friends, when we are tempted, remember the promise of the crown of life. And as you grow, you will find pure joy comes when you have persevered. James offers us wise counsel, simple proverbs that are good head knowledge. Will you live the practical advice of a wise counselor named James and live life accordingly? That says when temptation comes, it can be an opportunity of pure joy because you will be able to draw nearer to Christ in your time of need. Trials and temptations are an opportunity for Christian growth. I hope as Christians we'll seize those opportunities this week. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. God, we thank you that your Son has given us life and that we have the crown of life as a promise from you. And God, I'd ask that as we seek to be faithful to you this week, in the trials and temptations that will come our way, Lord, they will be many. Many opportunities to walk away from you and stop being faithful. And God, I'd ask that we would have renewed energy and focus, that you would stir within your spirit this morning just simple reminders to draw near to you when we are in need. God, that when there's temptation that strikes, that we would know that we can be forgiven, but not use it as a clean slate, Lord, to do as we would want. God, stir within us a heart and a desire to be obedient, to know that in perseverance, Lord, that's when true growth happens, not when we give in. And so, God, help us to endure. Help us to be strong and faithful. Lord, that we would find pure joy in the accomplishment of overcoming trial and temptation. That we would find joy in what comes from the fruit of perseverance, and that is maturity and growth and happiness and true joy in your Son. So, God, I thank you that you are merciful, that you are gracious, that in our times of need, that when we do fall and fail, God, that you are there still offering forgiveness and life. And so, God, we would ask for your strength and your wisdom this day, that we would be encouraged to be faithful and persevere, that when temptation comes, we would use it as an opportunity for growth. God, we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us?
Thank you.